Father, we thank you that you are here with us tonight, and we pray that you may speak through these words as we reflect on this psalm, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I suppose one of the reasons that many of us have come here tonight is to say thank you to God for the lives of loved ones for whom we've recently had funerals. Often at the death of a loved one, it also brings our own lives into focus and makes us reflect on them. And I think that's what I see this psalm as doing, is helping us just a little bit in those reflections. The word that came mainly to my mind when I read this psalm is the word time. Time. It got me thinking about the many sayings that we have about time. Time and tide wait for no one. Never leave till tomorrow what you can do today. Time is like a snowflake. It melts away while you're trying to decide what to do with it. All the time in the world, in record time. How many times have you said these things? How many times have you said things like, don't waste time. Time flies when you're having fun. I don't know where time goes. And there's also sayings like, in the fullness of time, in the nick of time, in the right place at the right time, in your own time, kill time, take one day at a time. You're writing the story of your life one moment at a time. I didn't know this, but I discovered it. The internet is a wonderful thing, and I discovered this. Did you know that at the beginning of each day, you have 86,400 seconds to use? It's quite mind-blowing when you stop and think about it. That's a lot of seconds. Do we use them wisely? Time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You can't store it up, you can't slow it down, you can't hold it up. You can't divide it up or give it up, you can't hoard it up or save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it's lost. Just bearing those thoughts in mind as we look at the psalm, Psalm 90. It's thought to be written by Moses. It's certainly one of the oldest psalms. You remember that the Jews were supposed to enter the promised land after they left Egypt. However, because of their lack of faith in God, they instead wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, while everyone 20 years old and upwards died. Again, the internet. One person did the maths and figured that if there were a million people above the age of 20 at the time, that they would have had an average of nearly 70 funerals every day during those years. Just a thought. As the nation's leaders, Moses had probably participated in more funerals than he cared to think about. Perhaps this psalm comes out of a time when he was doing some personal soul searching. Psalm 90 speaks of a contrast between the brevity of human existence in comparison to God's eternity. Verses 1 to 6 stresses God's eternity. I'll just read those verses again. Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by the evening it's dry and withered. The psalmist is emphasizing the security we have with God. Our trust is in one who exists before the mountains were born. In all of the ups and downs of life, he is God. Before the heartaches and pain and devastations of life, he was God. Long after those things have passed away, he will still be God. He is everlasting. In contrast, human beings are dust. We're not just mortal, but we're short-lived. To illustrate the difference between our brevity and God's eternalness, the writer says 1,000 years to us is like a day to God. It also says like a watch in the night. This would be 3 hours, which you must have seen 3 long hours if you were on watch duty. The writer expresses the brevity of life, comparing people with new grass. The brevity of life means that soon death will overtake us, says the writer. And again, he goes on to explain that further. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. When we see that life is short and we must find the mercy of God before life ends, the writer talks of the number of years we can expect, but we know that this can often be more and sometimes a lot less. But he says that we should face up to all the stuff in our lives that maybe we're ashamed of and be inspired to pray for wisdom so we won't spend our time ignoring God. I'm going to read you a short passage of a story that Jesus told. And he told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build a bigger one, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Jesus called the man a fool because that night he was going to die. Jesus didn't call the man a fool for planning for the future. Jesus said the man was a fool because he planned and spoke as if he was going to live forever. It matters what we do with our time because time is short. I suppose the very central verse of the whole psalm is verse 12. "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This verse teaches us that when a person understands how short a time they have on this earth, they will ask God to show them how to make the best decisions in order to pursue a right relationship with God and to give their work to God so that God can establish and prosper them and their lives. And so we move on to verses 13 to 17. "Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children." "May the favour of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. The writer expands on the idea he wants our feeble efforts to amount to something beyond ourselves. He prays, Lord, be pleased with us. Make our lives count. So I would want to ask, is this what we want? Don't we all want our lives to amount to something? That's what knowing God is ultimately all about. It's about being part of something that's bigger than we are. It's about making a true difference in this world with God's help. Don't let's put off what we can do today. So what sort of things do we tend to put off? You won't mind me saying this, but if I ask my 20-year-old grandson, excuse me, I think it'd be almost anything. He'd prefer to stay in bed or play computer games. When we're young, we think we have all the time in the world. We think we've got lots of years ahead, so we sit back and let time pass us by. Excuse me. According to a poll, the top five things people put off until the last minute are housework and gardening, Christmas shopping, making doctor or dentist appointments, and calling relatives. We're always going to do it, aren't we? But I think there's one thing missing from the list. One thing that perhaps we don't think about. And that's putting off getting right with God. Somehow we think this is something we can put off until another time, a later time, perhaps the last minute. And yet this is the most important decision we will ever make. Don't put this decision off until there's no more time. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you've given us the time to use aright for you. Help us to turn to you and make our lives right with you, that you may use us for your service. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.